Regarding a believer's relationship with God and worship in the church, Robert Wilkin, in his book, The Spirit of Early Christian Thought, says this: unless we invest ourselves in the object of our love, we remain voyeurs and spectators, curiosity seekers, incapable of receiving because we are unable to give. That's a profound thought. I personally know of no better way to stoke the fires of affectionate love for God than contemplating the beauty of Christ, the loveliness of Jesus. When we do this, we peer into something sublimely beautiful. We peer into wonderful mysteries. We begin to understand why Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers was this: I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul was contemplating the love and loveliness of Jesus, and this put him in such ecstasy that he earnestly desired his friends to have that same delight. But how do we get to that joy and delight and love and ecstasy in our worship? Well, we need help with our contemplations. The Scripture is the storeroom, the treasury of heavenly contemplations. But so also are the reflections of lovers of God who've come before us, like the hymn writers. So we are going to do a hymnspiration today on the beauty of Christ. And this hymn is a good place to start. So I'll read it as poetry. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer, than all the angels heaven can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. If that saying, to know him is to love him, applies to anyone, it applies to Jesus. If people don't love Jesus, and love Jesus passionately, it's usually because they do not know him, or at least, they do not know him near well enough, for he is lovely. What is it that makes him so lovely? Well, he's glorious as the Son of God, excelling in beauty beyond the angels. But the beauty we most appreciate is his beauty in his relationship to us, the beauty of his love for us. There's also beauty in who Jesus is to us. He's our Lord. He is our God. He's our Savior. He is our High Priest. And he is our friend. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. And what a friend he is. Now there's a hymn I've shared with you a time or two. How lovely shines the morning star. Well, it's not in our hymnal, but that won't stop us from enjoying it. So, I'll read it and then make some commentary. How lovely shines the morning star. The nations see and hail afar the light in Judah shining. Thou David, son of Jacob's race, my bridegroom and my king of grace. For thee my heart is pining. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, thou victorious prince of graces, filling all the heavenly places. O highest joy by mortals won, true son of God and Mary's son, thou high-born king of ages, thou art my heart's most beauteous flower, and thy blessed gospel's saving power my raptured soul engages. Thou mine, I thine, sing Hosanna. Heavenly manna, tasting, eating, whilst thy love in songs repeating. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. In thy blessed body let me be, e'en as the branches in the tree, thy life, my life supplying, sighing, crying, for the savor of thy favor, resting never, till I rest in thee forever. Thou, mighty Father, in thy Son, didst love me ere thou hadst begun this ancient world's foundation. Thy Son hath made a friend of me, and when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. What bliss is this? He that liveth to me giveth life forever. Nothing me from him can sever. Now let's take a closer look. How lovely shines the morning star. The idea of a bright morning star is a star that outshines all the others. And Jesus is the brightest light in our universe. The nations see and hail afar the light in Judah shining. Thou David, son of Jacob's race. Well, perhaps this is all in reference to the birth of the Messiah, when the wise men from other nations came from afar to worship him. There was a light shining that brought wise men from afar. My bridegroom and my king of grace, for thee my heart is pining. I want to save my thoughts on that for last, so we'll skip that for now. Then we come to lowly, holy, great and glorious, thou victorious prince of graces, filling all the heavenly places. Lowly. Lowly, which points to his humility. Holy points to his purity, his perfection, his set-apartness, if that were a word. Then great and glorious. None so low in humility, none so high in personal glory. And victorious, thou victorious, he triumphed over the grave, over all the powers of hell. The grave could not hold him. Hell could not overcome him. Then it says, prince of graces. Of all kinds of grace, he exceeds both men and angels. Then filling all the heavenly places. Jesus is not just in heavenly places, he fills them. The presence of Jesus is what makes heaven heavenly. And the presence of Jesus with us is what brings a bit of heaven to us. Just as evil words and evil deeds bring a bit of hell to earth, so does the presence of Jesus and our pursuit of Jesus and our devotion to Jesus and our walking in the ways of Jesus, so does this bring heaven to earth. Then it says, O highest joy by mortals won, true Son of God and Mary's Son, thou high-born King of ages. Now I love this part. Thou art my heart's most beauteous flower. Oh, what imagery that is. And thy blessed gospel's saving power my raptured soul engages. In other words, the saving power of the gospel engages our hearts and souls to the point of rapture. of being lifted from low places to the skies. Thou mine, I thine. Sing Hosanna, heavenly manna, tasting, eating, whilst thy love in songs repeating. Next we see, he fills not only heavenly places, he fills human hearts. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou my God, deign to impart. The definition of deign is to condescend, to give, or grant. Deign to impart the grace of love undying. The writer is saying, Lord, condescend, stoop down to impart to me undying love for you. In thy blessed body let me be e'en, poetic language for even, e'en as the branches in the tree, thy life, my life, supplying. As a branch has no life in itself, but only as it is vitally connected to the rest of the tree, and receives its very life from the rest of the tree, so do we, moment by moment, receive our life from Jesus. Sighing, crying, for the savor of thy favor, resting never, till I rest in thee forever. Thou mighty Father, in thy Son, didst love me ere, old English for before, didst love me ere thou hadst begun this ancient world's foundation. Thy Son hath made a friend of me, and when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. In other words, the contemplation of Jesus and his love for us is weightier than whatever troubles we are facing, so that we can joy even in tribulation because of the joy set before us with Jesus. What bliss is this? He that liveth to me giveth life forever. He lives. But not only that, he shares that life with us. What he has is eternal life, and what he gives us is eternal life. For he has life in himself, and he gives us himself. Then it says, nothing me from him can sever, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus. Now here's what I save for last. It says, my bridegroom. When we come to that word, bridegroom, we enter into a very special place. The church is called the bride of Christ. That makes him the groom, or in Old English, the bridegroom. I've said before, and I shall surely say again and again, if the life to come is akin to our marriage to Jesus, then this life we live here is the courtship. There is no more meaningful pursuit, or for that matter, no more delightful pursuit to engage in this life than to get to know Jesus more and more. Since he loves us and loves us enough to die for us, that he might have us near him, then surely he wants us to know him. My bridegroom and my King of grace, King of grace, not only has he grace towards us, grace which is unmerited or unearned favor? He not only has grace towards us, he's the King of grace. Being in the presence of a king, not a ceremonial king, but a real king, is a scary thing until you discover that he's the King of grace. Then scary goes away, and love fills the place in our hearts where scary used to reside. Even as the Apostle John said, who was perhaps the disciple closest to Jesus, 1 John 4:18, John said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. How can we not love the King of grace? My bridegroom and the King of grace. Then it says, for thee my heart is pining, longing, deep longing. But strangely enough, longing for nearness with Jesus is a sweet and pleasant thing. It's a sweet and pleasant longing, a delightful longing. Usually a longing for someone is a very unpleasant thing. But somehow longing for closeness to Jesus is different. I don't know why that is. I've read where theologians have wondered over this, how a longing for Jesus can be so pleasant in itself. Perhaps it's because we know that he knows our thoughts, and he delights in our longing for him. Because, and this is where we really cross into wonders, he also longs for us. We are like a bride awaiting her groom, but he is also like a groom awaiting his bride. Oh, this is stuff deeper than the ocean and wider than the cosmos. As Paul in Ephesians was describing the relationship of husband and wife, he had to step back in wonder and say, oh, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. We stand on holy ground. Imagine being the first person to stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon and gaze with awe and wonder over it. Well, that's where we are right now as we ponder this. Standing on the precipice of something vast and wonderful when we contemplate the life to come with our heavenly groom. What wonders await us? What adventures await us? What love awaits us? As the bride of Christ, seeing our beloved face to face, Jesus is our undiscovered country, our haven of rest, and the fulfillment of all our heart's deepest longings. How beautiful Jesus is and ever will be. How beautiful he is making us to be as we follow him. How lovely shines that morning star. How lovely shines the morning star. The nations see and hail afar. The light in Judah shining, thou David, son of Jacob's race, my bridegroom and my king of grace, for thee my heart is pining. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, thou victorious Prince of Graces, filling all the heavenly places. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. In thy blessed body let me be, e'en as the branches in the tree, thy life my life supplying, sighing, crying, for the savor of thy favor resting never, till I rest in thee forever. Thou mighty Father, in thy Son didst love me ere thou hadst begun this ancient world's foundation. Thy Son hath made a friend of me, and when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. What bliss is this? He that liveth to me giveth life forever. Nothing me from him can sever.